This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I mean, you know, we need great quarterback play in the National Football League, just like everybody else. Excited about where Drake's at and the offseason that he's had working with some of our new players, working with Josh McDaniels. You know, I think defensively there's a lot of guys that, you know, I'm excited about. Christian Barmore, he had some health issues last year with the blood clots, and I've seen him work extremely hard, and just his energy and passion to get back, it has been really fun. And the way that he practiced in the spring, and so I'm looking forward to seeing Christian just be able to play football.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about two of the most important players on his Patriots roster heading into a new season that kind of kicks off tonight. Here at Gillette Stadium, WEEI Afternoons on the Dean College stage at Patriot Place, just outside of Citizen Crust, where Ted Johnson's been taking a lot of pictures, signing a lot of autographs. Teddy, you enjoying this? You good?
A little
ego boost for Ted Johnson.
Are you kidding
today?
Me? Oh, this is great.
No, they love their Teddy.
People are very, very nice. We got the best fans ever.
That is true.
This is a validation. I love seeing this.
It's there's a day. My dad would never – I would never complain. I'd never take this for granted. My dad always just says, son, there's going to be a day when no one gives a crap. So just enjoy it while you can, kid.
Yep. Well, they still give a poop about your pipes,
they
Ted
do.
Johnson. WEEI Afternoons, we need to talk about some – before we get to all Ted's reactions, we got a little bit of time for that. John Stryker is a guy that the Boston Herald
– Stryker.
Stretch. Stretch. A tall man.
Yep.
A right-hand man.
6'7".
A guy that I told you guys earlier, when I first heard he was joining Mike Vrabel's staff, he was explained to me as a combination of Berge Najarian and Ernie Adams. Just morph them together, and everything the head coach needs, that's what Stretch does. And that's kind of what this story from a long story, Andrew Callahan.
It might
Boston
be the longest
Globe.
Article I've ever read.
It is. It is.
Ever. It is the longest article ever.
Do you know when it ran in the paper? There was nothing else in the Herald.
Literally, this one article was the entire paper.
Yes, it was like something about Karen Reed, the weather, and then nothing. The Stryker piece.
Yeah.
So,
but honestly, very informative, and I thought very compelling and interesting.
I thought this guy is he's more fascinating to me now after reading this. You know, it's basically on the road with John Stryker than it was before. And as it is, when you say like he's Berge meets Ernie, that's pretty interesting in the first place. But like his there were a couple of quotes that really caught me, but like the fact that like he comes from such humble roots and is such a seemingly quiet guy.
Yep.
Big film nerd, big book guy, but like everywhere he goes, from Ohio State to the way McVay talks about him to the fact that Vrabel can barely catch oxygen without him, Ted. Is unbelievable. Just like his football acumen and his strategy, that whole story about he saved Urban Meyer in a game against Michigan. They were up 42-41. He diagnosed the play. We all talk about, oh, Ernie's so genius. Yep. Ernie's the one who knew they were running that play in Super Bowl 49, right? This was 10 years ago when he was in his 20s, and he comes out with this kind of encyclopedic knowledge of the Patriots. It's guys like this that are going to put this team in the right kinds of hands this year.
Yeah, I think there was an explanation or a quote in there that said it's ownership, it's Vrabel, it's Stretch. Like, that's the order of power.
Great nickname, too.
And I think it's fascinating. Anytime you hear Vrabel talk about him, the Bustin' with the Boys podcast, various times, like, the respect he has for Stretch, the need he has for him in terms of what he's going to put on his plate, whether it be during the week, during, you know, in the booth, game day, leaning on him for decision-making and some of those things. I always wonder, the first thing I always think about with these guys, well, how come they're not the coach? Like, if he does so many things such a high level.
There's alphas and there's betas.
Yep.
He seems like just your top-of-the-line beta.
Yep.
What you can tell from the article, what really gets Stretch going is servicing. He likes to service. Mm-hmm. He likes to see if somebody has an issue or a problem and help them come to a resolution on that problem. That's kind of what his nature is to be a part of something and to be of service to people. And so he has found a niche for himself where he can pretty much, whatever it comes to football, whether it's be football ops or football coaching, scouting, et cetera, that he's got an opinion or a solution or a way of doing things that, to me, he's got to be an invaluable asset to Mike Vrabel. If I was a head coach, the first thing I would do was look for a Stretch, somebody like an Ernie Adams, somebody who could be somebody that I trust that will tell me the truth and just knows the inner operations of running a football team, and this guy does.
So, Ted, your whole entire thing about, like, you know, fulfilling things, be, you know, service, et cetera, these are the two lines I was talking about. This one speaks to what you were talking about. Football offered what caddying and basketball could not, the chance to activate his love of strategy, service, and his father's game all at once. And then on the bond with Vrabel, Stretch's bond with Vrabel is one of the tightest in football, perhaps the tightest. To say Stretch knows where the bodies are buried would be to overlook the possibility he may have been the one who put them there in the first place.
And that's
great line.
That's where I think of Ernie Adams. Like, that bond between Bill and Ernie being whatever they were, high school or prep school, roommates, this and that, and those bonds. And the other thing that jumps out to me is just when we're talking about efficiency or competency, like a year ago we weren't sure, did the head coach know what he was doing? Did the offensive coordinator know what he's doing? And now we're like, well, Vrabel knows what he's doing. And if he doesn't know what he's doing, he's got a right-hand man who knows what he should be doing and get him back on track. There's just layers of competency here that were non-existent a year ago.
But we know Vrabel's a good – I mean, don't we know Vrabel's a good coach?
Yes.
Like,
and when he has a bad day,
he's got a winning record.
There. Right.
He's coached 6 years, and he's 10 games over 500. A lot of guys would still be in their old job if they had that record. So he's already proven, you know, that he can be a good coach. To me, the most important asset is, and I think this was an issue with Bill later in his career, you got to, as a coach, know who you can trust, and I think that's a big thing. Mike identifies people that he feels he can trust, and my guess is he trusts this guy's, you know, Stretch implicitly, and so that's an invaluable asset, somebody that'll tell you the truth. And it sounds like Mike even said in that article that guys will go to him and maybe vent to him about Vrabel or other coaches, and that Mike doesn't pry, doesn't ask. So he's kind of a resource not only to Mike, but to really everybody in football ops.
It's so funny, like the stories about him sleeping in a closet, like very humble. To a point where, Andy, he still drives the old Hyundai. We were talking about somebody who was rather opulent the other day, and they still drive the same car. Like,
well, Ernie. I can tell you Ernie Adams drove an old Corolla or something, whatever it was, forever.
We saw it in the Dynasty. Like, yeah. But he drives this Hyundai Elantra he's had for like 15 years. Like, you now work for the Patriots. You're probably being paid a reasonable salary. You could upgrade if you want to. Nope. Just very, very
It loses edge.
Yep.
He gets
a
new car, and then he's lost his edge.
Right.
Bingo.
These are those guys that I always wonder, and you said it there, service, his father's game, those things coming together. But doesn't he seem like a guy that anything he had chosen, he's smart enough and he works hard enough, he would have found some success in a different avenue, line of work. It's just, luckily for us, it's football. Luckily for Vrabel, it's football.
He could reprogram some algorithm for investment, for, you know, AI, for Goldman Sachs, whatever. He could probably be independently wealthy beyond any of our wildest dreams, but he just happened to have fallen in love with football because his dad flamed out as an offensive lineman and then got into it in basketball.
And trust, you bring up the word trust that he Stretch has from Vrabel and vice versa, that, you know, I think football in some of these places is naturally insecure. Is that guy trying to get my job? Is that guy angling for something? And it seems like they have a relationship that's never a concern. If the player is mad at Vrabel and wants to go talk to Stretch about it, I think Vrabel's like, okay, go do that. Stretch is my guy, and the mentality, they have the same mentality. They're building the same thing here. And I think that's huge. And if you don't have that within your organization with at least some of them, I'm not saying everybody is perfect and they're all kumbaya, all trust each other. But you got to have some guys that are your guys.
And it sounds like this is going to be the guy that is going to sit where Ernie did during games.
So yeah, he is.
So I've told this story to, you know, a lot of people over the years. I'll never forget in crunch time situations in games when Belichick needed to make a hard decision and make it fast. He always went to Ernie over the headset.
Yep.
And I've heard him yell in the headset, "Shut the F up, Ernie. Go."
Right.
And then Ernie would give his and so a lot of the big decisions, Ernie was an influence when Bill was here, and Stretch is the same way with Vrabel. In fact, he was the one that gave Vrabel the idea to burn off all that time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
When the Titans played the Patriots in that, was that first playoff game, right?
Stretch went back and watched all the Patriots games and saw
that Bill
against
did
the
that
Jets
team.
And they held that in their back pocket when they had the opportunity. They did it, and that basically killed the Patriots at the end. Left Brady with no time and no choice but to throw a pick to Logan Ryan.
So to me, someone in your ear during a game is like that is to me is honestly, it's invaluable.
Absolutely, and we've seen other teams. Who was it? The Hackett in Denver a couple of years ago. They were like, he was trying to scramble to hire somebody in like the third week of the season because he had screwed up a decision, a clock or something. It's like, well, right. If you're just hiring some guy off the street in week three, you don't have a great working relationship with him. He might be a smart guy and he might be able to help you with analytics, but that's not the same as having a guy you trust inherently to give you the answer.
And I will tell you this, he's more important than you think, because what does he do? He helps Mike look like a competent coach and helps him be a better coach on game day. Guys, you want guys to buy in, you better not be a bad game manager. If you're a coach that doesn't know how to work the clock in the last 2 minutes of games, and you lose games because you suck at it, you're going to lose guys. You will win guys over. Belichick won us over because of his football acumen, how smart he was, how he put us in the right positions. And so we trusted him, with every single game plan. And that's because he was the smartest guy in the room. Vrabel needs to be that guy.
And it's not just making the right decision and it always working out perfectly. It's avoiding the WTF decision where you screw it up, right? Like, people remember those. You make one or two of those, that becomes who you are, right? Like, you're not going to win them all. You're not going to make the perfect clock every time, but don't make the real bad mistake. And a guy like that, a second set of eyes can avoid.
There was a couple of events last year, like, where the coach was like, right before half.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're running they need to score some points before the half. They got a couple of
timeouts. They were terrible.
Right. And they run the football on first down.
Why are they trying a 24-yard field goal, which Joey Sly ultimately misses? Ted, against Tennessee, after the 12-second Drake May play, where he finds Ramondre, you're not going to the playoffs. Give them the chance to win that game by going for two. Don't take the single point and go to overtime.
After overtime, the wind? I think they picked the wrong side.
They picked the wrong side, and Drake threw a 60-yard pass into the wind.
That's it. That kind of stuff won't happen anymore.
It won't. And then you mix in, from what I understand, he also does all the other stuff where if Travion Henderson says, I'm the best running back that's ever walked the planet, Stretch will say, Coach wants to see you. You said something in the Herald that he'd like to talk to you about.
Right.
So he does some of that stuff, too. He's the eyes. He's the ears. He's the AI guy.
You know what I'm really waiting for? It'll be interesting to see just any adversity that happens. How does Mike handle it? You know, he's kind of had the Steph Diggs party boat thing. He kind of had to navigate. I'm curious if Ramondre continues to spit the seat. Say he's got three fumbles in the first 5 weeks. Does he bench him? Does he demote him? Last year we thought that Jaron Mayo was going to do that, and then at the last second he changes his mind. And so you can lose face from the team, guys lose respect for you if you don't set boundaries. I'm curious how stringent and strong his boundaries will be.
Coming up on WEEI Afternoons, it's one of Ted Johnson's favorite topics. Jordan Hudson has reached out.
Again?
She is. She reached out. She cold called a podcast.
Nobody's calling me. I got to call some folks.
She cold called a podcast that thought they were going to get her for the exclusive interview. Another never came to fruition, but we'll talk about Jordan Hudson being uncomfortable out of the spotlight right now. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons, live at the Dean College stage at Patriot Place.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
A number that is not in my phone pops up. I had like a spidey sense. I was like, I'm going to answer this. So I answer the phone, and there's a woman's voice on the other end. I say hello. She says, hi. And I was like, hey. And this woman goes, this is Jordan Hudson. My heart starts beating pretty quickly because this is like a poster started talking and came off of the wall.
Yes. Yes.
This is like you're sitting down with Bigfoot after no one's seen him ever
because he's Bigfoot.
So she keeps talking and she goes, yes, it's Jordan, the president of your universe.
Am I allowed to say GTFOH?
Yes. Thank you. I was literally going to say, Andy, the same way that I overreacted to the Frank and Brady jerseys earlier saying fire all of those into the sun, can she please be the pilot or co-pilot of the rocket that flies directly into the sun carrying all the Frank and Brady jerseys? I reached peak Jordan a while ago.
So that was a clip from the latest sports gossip podcast available everywhere. That was Charlotte Wilder and Madeline Hill, I believe. talking about their last week or so, where they got a cold call from Jordan Hudson. I believe last Saturday night around 9:45 is when it started. Unknown caller.
Who takes a call at 9:45 on a Saturday?
Didn't take the first one. The person immediately called back, Jordan, the president of their universe.
By the way, psycho move.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And they're
absolute
like,
stone
maybe
cold
I should
psycho.
Order the, answer this.
I didn't order any DoorDash. Who's calling back? Wait, hello?
It actually reminds me of a Mike Vrabel interaction, but a different topic, different day.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they went for almost a full week. Going back and forth, they estimated over 5 hours of phone calls and FaceTimes with Jordan Hudson.
To negotiate the terms of this interview?
Yes. And she, you know, kind of ghosting them, going cold. They kept saying it was like being in a toxic relationship. Like not wanting the call back, not getting the call back. They're telling the Jordan asked them, do you guys stay up late? Because it might be, they're like staying up late and then she never calls, like staying up till 1:30 or 2. She never calls.
Throw me in the Amazon covered in chicken. Skin. And I do not want to deal with this for it. I wouldn't want to deal with her for
that
5 seconds.
And I know that person.
The end. Okay, not we don't need to go down that road. the end, the non-payoff, they thought they were getting her on their podcast, and then she found out that their podcast, which has existed in its own right for a while but is joining the Athletic Podcast Network, she said, oh no, I've gotten bad coverage by them. I don't want to make them any money. And that was sort of, it seems like the straw that broke the camel's back.
We got Michael Lombardi backing out of interviews with Jones and Keefe.
Can't take any questions about Belichick. Jordan now doesn't like unflattering coverage. Like, is she, let me ask you honestly.
Yeah.
Could she be one of the 7 most tone-deaf people in America?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were going unlikable as well, because she's not likable.
I don't want to do that, because that's punching down and a little bullying.
Top 5.
Wait, I'm allowed to not like her. A lot of people don't like me. There's probably some sitting out here right now.
All
right. It's okay to not like another person.
All right, and this has been We Made It About You, brought to you by our friend at Awaken 180.
No, I'm just saying, like, you can not like somebody.
No, I know. I'm with you 100%. I just don't want to, like, not – I don't want to get on board that train. It's just – her general lack of awareness as to what the fallout is for her behavior is stupefying to me. I almost threw my headset off.
I compare it, like, this coupling is kind of like, have you seen Leaving Las Vegas?
Yep. That's why I shower with a bottle of vodka every day.
Yeah. It's like two addicts coming together. It's like, just let me do my drinking. Let me do my.
You can never, ever ask me
to
stop
drinking. Let
me
do my street walking at night. Just don't bother me about it, and we'll get along fine. And they cohabitated because they let each other kind of, you know, be their worst version of themselves without judging. And I feel like this is kind of what's going on, too.
But they so they recap a lot of their conversations from memory, notes they took, different things. And some of it was saying how Jordan uses a lot of lingo, legalese, different things, but not really appropriately, not really in the context fitting the situation or the sentence.
So now not only is she one of the 7 most tone-deaf, but she's one of the 7 or top 10 not as smart as she thinks.
Yeah,
she
like
is.
Pseudo-intellect. And then she even made a comment to them. Everybody loved.
Poor Bridgewater State.
Everybody loved Belichick's recent actions with the media until they found out I was behind it. And then they stopped. She just has a massive ego. And
the fact that she reached out to
me. We're not talking about that.
She can't be irrelevant now. Now that she's gotten a taste of what. You know, stardom's like, she's like, she wants more of it.
And I'm not going to pretend I've been listening to all these episodes of the Sports Gossip podcast, but they actually did their best to try to cover it in a more fair way, maybe than we have or others have. They went to Maine. They went to the Miss Maine pageant. They actually did an episode kind of on what the pageant meant to people that were in it. Not just Jordan, but like what the whole situation.
Oh, there were other people in the pageant?
Oh, there were. There were.
You're kidding.
They went in with good intentions.
Yes, and they thought maybe she appreciated that and was kind of looking at them as a soft landing spot or an ally. And then it kind of went sideways and it never came to fruition. And she maybe thought, they'll never talk about it.
That's her boyfriend's the same way.
Yeah.
Like he... It's like, there's tests, little tests, and if you pass them, then you get more information and more. And then the minute you kind of push back a little bit, that's it.
Yep.
You're done.
Her boyfriend is currently making the rounds on the internet after a series of unflattering photos earlier today as well. Not that segment is dedicated to that
nice,
as well. But
nice. I also wondered, is there a chance that Bill, who's involved in preseason camp at North Carolina, was maybe unaware of some of this that Jordan was doing, having this week-long series of phone calls and texts. And then at some point, she was like, I think I'm going to go do that sports gossip podcast. And maybe Bill said, Didn't we talk about this? North Carolina said you need to be quiet and go away. This is not being quiet and going away. Yeah. You're seeking out podcasts. I wondered if that might have played a role.
Trouble in Paradise, maybe. She's going behind Bill's back.
I would not be surprised. Like, Bill's busy right now. Is that fair to say? Bill's
doesn't need these headaches.
He's pretty busy right now.
Oh, man. Is this going to be the most unbelievably interesting, if not compelling, season of a six or seven win team?
I'm watching ACC football.
You are.
I'm watching ACC football now because Bill's there and Billy O's at BC.
And let's throw it right back. Let's throw it back to that story that surfaced a couple weeks ago. Like, there's a chance that maybe there was just an agreement between Belichick and North Carolina to raise their profile so they could make that SEC bid. Like, the more all this goes on, the more I think, you know what? There are legs to that.
They're gonna go down. Bills can be go down in a blaze of glory in a bad way, and he can go to the top. I mean, as you see, so I think it's gonna be a bad season. I feel like this is not gonna be. This is not going to be a good look for BB.
Well, a lot of people, the hardcores are like, they have no talent. They don't have a quarterback. Like, some of the people who actually analyze ACC rosters and talent are saying,
what's up,
like,
guys?
You know, you need a quarterback to play football at all levels. And if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win, Bill.
And Andy, you want to know why there will never be a Bill Belichick statue outside Gillette Stadium, or there may be a pause on it? Well, potentially there may not be one anytime soon, is because the vetting and approval process that would go through her would be unbearable.
Oh, can you imagine? I'm sure she's an expert in statues. Oh, just like everything else.
Oh, she
did
alone,
go to Bridgewater State.
She alone was from the Bronze
great
Age.
School.
Great school, tremendous university.
Shot at her, not you.
Unbelievable Academy of Education.
But the first person I thought of when I saw this promoting the podcast, saying she had cold called the podcast, was you, Ted, saying, like, this just can't go away. This will come back up. She can't help herself.
And you were the
first person I thought of. Like, she couldn't help herself.
It's in her nature,
She's
man.
She's reaching out to podcasters to defend herself, to thank them. That was the other thing. They kept getting the feeling she was trying to, like, clarify the record, clarify facts. Okay, if we did something wrong in those podcasts, tell us what we got wrong. And she never could. She never could actually get to any facts or any meat to go with her argument. It was just sort of us against the world kind of thing, her and Bill versus the world.
This is a story, honestly, I'm going to want to watch to the very end.
The documentary coming out?
I hope that somebody covers Jordan to the very end, because I'm really there for it.
You are addicted.
I want to see how this story ends so bad. You know, I want to hurry up and read the last chapter.
This is the part of you that likes those romance novels, isn't it? This is like a real life.
It's a tragic romance.
Yes.
Right here.
Tragedy, romance, all wrapped into one, and Ted Johnson can't put it down.
It might illuminate some of, you know, how it was for me growing up, you know, just a little different.
Oh, boy.
That I would
wormhole,
like
party of us.
Feels like time to take a break here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we're going to transition into the drive. It's 5 o'clock. That means we're 1 hour away from the Tom Brady statue ceremony here at Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place. WEEI Afternoons on the Dean College stage, just between Bar Louie and the Citizen Crust Pizza Place. Come on down, say hello, pregame, get ready for the statue, and get ready for Drake May 2025. The Drive next here on WEEI Afternoons.